B-Pod Studios.
Mike Missanelli, 97.5 FM, Philly's first FM sports station.
We on an uneven playing field, top of the totem pole. 97.5, Mike Missanelli show. Si, senor, we numero uno. And internationally large, just like the sumo. 2-6, Monday to TGIF. Mikey misses the Philly, where Haiti's the wide clef. A man of the people, ambassador. Put this bull in the ring, they turn the matadors. Our competition completely non-existent. Burning up the phone lines, record number listeners. All the biggest names and the hottest topics. A runaway train in the drive time slot. It's kinda hard to stop us. Home remote, standing ovation just like an opera. The best show on earth, I feel that's very proper. The most electric sports talk, ain't no need to shock ya. Turn your radios up, Mike's ready to rock.
Yeah, it's the best show on earth. It is the Mike Missanelli Show, broadcasting from the Xfinity Studio, only from Comcast. It is Friday. We're live on radio and on television, NBC Sports Philadelphia. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in, watching us on TV. Today's a Friday, and we have no football to talk about for the first time all year. We've got two other teams that we have to, we don't even have to say anything about them, frankly. Because I don't really care who wins, to be honest. I think that there are two teams that are going to win and meet for the Super Bowl. But once the Eagles have bailed out, our interest level wanes. So we won't talk much about that. But we will talk about Philadelphia sports and how we are as people. Because I love this. Tyrone and I were talking before the show. And I knew this was going to happen with Tyrone because he watched the Sixers game last night, right? And you had to be impressed with the Sixers game. They played really well. Maybe their best game of the year. And dispatched a fairly decent team. Now, it's not a team that maybe was ahead of them in the pecking order, but it's a team that will probably meet in the playoffs, or most now could meet in the playoffs if it's a 4-5 situation. And I think last night they proved they were much better than the Indiana Pacers. So what that said to me is that in a 7-game series, if they have to play the Pacers, they're going to move on to the second round. But Tyrone is one of these guys that reacts more heavily than I do. And it's a flaw of mine. I am not trying to laud myself here for being so skeptical of getting over to the other side and saying, yeah, that's good, right? You're more like you were all about the Sixers today. You know?
Yes.
Oh, the great guy, the Sixers, what did they prove to you now? Blah, 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 and you're going on and on and on.
Yes.
Right? Now, you might be right, I might be wrong. What is it about me that holds back until I actually am convinced and I see it? I was convinced last night of one thing, that they're better than the Pacers. That did not convince me last night that they're better in a 7-game series in Milwaukee, that they're better in a 7-game series against Boston, that they're better in a 7-game series against Toronto. Now, that's probably my flaw, because most of the people that watched that game last night said, damn, look at this. This is a good squad. This is why we got Jimmy Butler. That's why Embiid is an MVP candidate. Look at the way Ben Simmons got up and down the court. He didn't even score, but he influenced the game defensively. So, Tyrone, first of all, I want you to explain what that victory meant to you last night.
What it meant to me, I'm paying attention to how they're playing and the opponent. They're playing really good defense all of a sudden. I like that. I think that this team is built with Embiid, Butler, and Simmons to play really good defense in a playoff situation. I'm trying to project.
All right.
Now, I'm not saying automatically they're going to beat Toronto or beat Boston, but the one team that's really vulnerable to some tough defense is the Bucks team, because they're very reliant on one player.
Mm-hmm.
I know they didn't play them. What I'm looking at is what the Sixers did on defense and what the Sixers were able to do on offense against a team. They score 120 on a team that holds people to 99.
Uh-huh.
That does something for me. And it gives me something, some hope with this coach. People have been up and down with this coach. This was he had the guys ready to go.
Mm-hmm.
Embiid wasn't 100% physically. Ben wasn't 100% scoring.
Right.
They still find a way to win by 20 points.
Yeah.
When a team doesn't have their A game and they win by a blowout, that tells me something. So I'm encouraged by the game.
All right. And I'm encouraged by the game, too. It taught me they're better than Indiana. It taught me they're going to beat Indiana in a 7-game series. That's what it taught me. Now, you know, I'm reluctant to give in completely unless I see something repeatedly. Repeatedly convinces me of the merits of a particular player or a particular team. So one game in January is not going to tell me that they're good enough to beat Toronto in a seven-game series. I reserve the right to continue to follow this storyline. And to me, the only way they get to that level is if they add to their team. Now, is that underreacting? Yeah. As opposed to your overreacting, am I underreacting? And the question is, when is it appropriate to overreact? And when is it overreacting?
You know what? I feel like your entire premise is unfair.
Really?
Your entire premise.
My entire premise is unfair?
Yes.
Well, it's all I have.
Your entire premise to me, and when you watch the Sixers, Ben Simmons is his second year playing in the NBA. No person, no team is held to the standard that you're holding the Sixers to. Jordan wasn't. LeBron wasn't.
What standard am I holding them to?
You're saying if they're not beating Toronto or Boston, it's useless. That's basically what you're saying.
Yes.
They didn't hold Michael Jordan to that.
Wait a minute. Hold a second. Are we expecting the Sixers to do more than they did last year? Isn't that the idea?
If they did more, that would mean they would get to the conference finals and lose to Toronto or Boston.
Okay. Well, if they got to the conference finals and they lost to those two teams, I'd have to see how the series played out to see whether I'm satisfied. What I'm telling you right now is that I don't think they can beat those teams now. Hey. If they add a couple players, I'm going to probably say they can.
That's fine.
That's unfair.
The premise is unfair. When Scottie Pippen was in his second year in the league playing with Michael Jordan, everybody's messiah, they weren't winning titles. They weren't getting to the finals. They didn't, if they don't beat Detroit this season's nothing. That was not the reality. They lost. They were getting swept in the first round.
How do you know how I would have reacted if I was covering the Chicago sports scene? I'm covering the Philadelphia sports scene. I have nothing to do with Scottie Pippen, Michael Jordan's teams. I'm looking at this team. I'm examining this squad.
And what I'm saying is that, and I'm all, listen, I work with the everyday. I love the high expectation. A lot of that has rubbed off on me. Uh-huh. I'm not that much of a fan. But I have moments in which I watch two young players plus a guy in his prime go out there and stomp a team, and I feel joy in that.
No, I have tremendous joy. What did I tweet out last night? What did I tweet out? The Sixers are ass-kicking this team or something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I loved watching that game. But you're asking me a totally different question. I can be satisfied with last night's game, but it's not going to allow me to translate it to all of a sudden they're going to be the Eastern Conference champions. I'm a harder sell than you.
Oh, I agree with you about the Eastern Conference champion.
In the same note, what were we talking about before the show? You're also a hard sell because you hate the fans that make judgments before it's time.
Yes, I do.
You hate that. This is a dichotomy here. You are willing to let yourself go off a damn bobsled ride with the Sixers. And in other areas, you're skeptical and you chastise other people for saying, well, this guy's great, or this coach is great, or this coach isn't great. You're saying that we make judgments too soon on things.
We do in this city, though.
Okay, well, I don't.
No, you never do, but sometimes I feel like you don't. I feel like you're a start guy and a finish guy. But you're a writer. You're a writer by trade. You wrote books. You're a writer. That's how you got in this business. You're a writer. The story, I feel like you no longer care about the story. You're a destination guy.
Incorrect. Because when I followed that Eagles season last year, when they were rolling with Carson Wentz, and they beat Carolina, the first thing I thought about, this is a damn good team that can actually go to the Super Bowl. That was my conclusion, because my eyes told me that. Now, my eyes in one game of 82 last night with the Sixers is not going to tell me that they're going to win the Eastern Conference. Because I know from seeing thousands and thousands of games that they need more than what they have to do that.
And
that's not unfair. I can appreciate what they did last night. I love the way Embiid played last night. Jimmy Butler, I was in love with Jimmy Butler last night. I even texted you about Butler.
You did. You talked about how golden he was on both ends.
He was gold.
Yes.
Last night. Redick missed his first three shots and buried six in a row. Coming with that dribble handoff play. Right? I love the way that game transpired last night. Beating Indiana Pacers team at home. It was a great win. Show me an manual, the NBA manual, says one game over the Indiana Pacers makes the Sixers the Eastern Conference champions when they're throwing guys off the bench the way they do. Because those four can't play 42 minutes. All right? That's what I know.
And I agree with
you. It's a great four. They can't play 42 minutes.
And I agree with you.
All right.
I do. But I feel like I got more joy from it than you got.
You didn't see me at home.
That's a good point.
I was jumping in the air.
No, you weren't.
I was dancing with my dog.
Okay.
Come on.
Okay.
I was throwing a little squeaky toy to Shima last night in glee.
All right. Sure. I believe you. If you say that's what you were doing, I'll believe you. Why not? It's a Friday.
I'd like to see that myself.
Why not?
Seriously.
Okay. I'll go with that. It felt like you didn't have the joy.
I was hopping around, man.
Okay. All right.
All right. There's a bigger portion to this discussion we want to talk about that involves the Eagles and Doug Peterson and all this kind of thing. Because Tyrone, it's really funny because he is down on the fans that come to quick conclusions. And yet today he's down on me because I didn't come to a quick conclusion. Now that, my friends, is a dichotomy. 610-632-0975. By the way, Charles Barkley said something last night that the Sixers are, he goes overboard when he talks about stuff, right? So I try to get Charles to that. Now, Charles is a buddy, but sometimes he'll go tone deaf, like when you try to get in touch with him. And I think that this is like one of these things where he said it and he doesn't have to want to explain it again. So I haven't heard back from him, but we'll get into what he said because I almost kind of agree with him. He said the Sixers were stupid for playing Embiid. Now, there's two sides of this tale here, and we'll get to that on the other side. 610-632-0975. Mike Mussinelli shows on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Another Sixers win. This Fanatic Sports Update is brought to you by Rosenbaum Injury Law, the power of justice for accidents, malpractice, or nursing home abuse. Remember Rosenbaum over two decades, helping our community. Sixers beat the Pacers last night, 120-96. Jimmy Butler had 27 points.
Now Simmons going right at Thad. Hayes goes to Jimmy, and Jimmy Butler with a two-hand jam. Yeah, Ben Simmons in the paint with the fish. Simmons with his fourth assist, and Jimmy Butler now with 11.
They'll play the Thunder tomorrow at home. You can hear that game right here on the Fanatic at 3:30. Flyers will take the ice again tomorrow night against the Canadiens. You can hear that game on the Fanatic at 7. Brian Westbrook joins Mike in studio today from 4 to 5. Our Big Green Giveaway keyword is coming up at 4 for your chance to win $1,000. Join Trey Thomas this Saturday from noon to 2 at Sprint by Arch Telecom on Concord Pike in Wilmington to pick up tickets to Mark and Trey's Super Bowl party on February 1st. Are your kids ready for cold and flu season? Infants and young children have a good chance of getting the flu. Check for fevers with the Exogen Temporal Scanner, the number one choice of pediatricians and the most accurate. We know you're busy, so we made it even easier for you to hear any of our shows that you missed. Go to 975thefanatic.com or download the Fanatic app for our daily Best of Show podcast. I'm Natalie Eganoff for 975 The Fanatic.
Mike Mussinelli on 975 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Giveaway. All right, it's time to maybe give away $1,000. It's the 5K a day Big Green giveaway. The keyword this hour is call. C-A-L-L. Enter the keyword call on the Fanatic app or 975thefanatic.com. You have to do that by 4:15 p.m. We'll call you if you're randomly selected and you win $1,000. Now, everyone that enters will be qualified for a $10,000 grand prize. We'll give that away at the end of the contest in February. Complete contest rules are available at 975thefanatic.com. It's all brought to you by TurnersvilleJeep.com, the Delaware Valley's fastest growing Jeep dealer. Once again, enter the keyword call, C-A-L-L, on the Fanatic app or 975thefanatic.com by 4:15 p.m. All right, it's 4 o'clock hour. It's an exciting hour. Brought to us by Landis Block. Get your jaw-dropping backyard paradise online at landisbc.com. And they also bring us our regular Friday guest, and we're honored. We're honored on this Friday. He's in the studio. He's the great number 36, Brian Westbrook. What's up?
Hey, man. It's just Friday. You know, I came down here to see you, and of course I had to see Tyrone and Natalie. And yeah, I got a problem with Tyrone every time I see him. It's always, some friction between us.
There's a clash.
Yeah.
The clash of sorts.
We don't see eye to eye.
Yeah. I love you, Brian. But, you know, I just know you're going to say something wild this hour. Like, you're going to say something wild.
Perhaps.
Like, I can't get over the Reese thing. I still can't shake that.
Yeah, well, you know.
Yeah, well, listen, we talked to you already about the end of this season, but it's great to have you live and in person, and because in like 5 minutes or so, we're going to have Charles Barkley join the conversation, too. But I got to get you. You know, it's lingering, the conversation of Foles Wentz. The Foles people, Brian, just won't let go.
Mm-hmm.
They won't let go. They're hugging their man. They don't want to let him get out of town.
Mm-hmm.
Where's this sitting with you here after the coaching staff pretty much settled it by saying Wentz is
our guy? Well, yeah, of course, the Howie and Doug came out and said, of course, you know, Carson Wentz is our guy. And I think as fans, we have to start realizing it's time for us to grow. It's time for us to go to the next level. And obviously, we had the Super Bowl with Nick Foles last year. We loved that. But this year, Nick came in. He couldn't get us over the hump, just wasn't able to do it. And I think now, and I'm talking about growth in a lot of different positions, not just the quarterback position. Unfortunately, on football teams, you're going to have seasons where you can say, hey, we're going to have to let go of some guys that we love, some guys that have been here for a long time for the growth of our team. We've seen some of the changes already on the coaching staff. We see Doug making some changes there. He wants to get better in some situations, some areas. And I think for the growth of this team, Carson Wentz has to be the guy. He has more talent. He has better arm strength. He has more mobility. He does all those things the right way. So he's much better of a quarterback than Nick Foles. At some point, we need Carson Wentz to grow as a player so that this team can go to the next level.
All right, well, how would you handle the situation? You know all the ramifications that are out there with this option contract. The Eagles pick up the option. He declines the option. He goes anywhere he wants, and then they get the compensatory pick. But it might not work out that way, and he might not buy out, but if he does buy out, they can franchise him and try to trade him with that way.
Yeah.
Like, how would you handle this whole thing? Would you just let him walk and say, no. Nick, you know what?
Well, the,
you got to play business with him.
Of course. I mean, it's a business transaction for Howie, and at the end of the day, if you can get something for him, that's what you want to do. The hard part, and I think Doug kind of mentioned this, and I think Howie mentioned this in his press conference, that these are people that you know that have meaning to you, so you just don't want to ship them off to the worst team in the league. You want them to go somewhere that they would want to go. The problem with that is the teams that will be willing to trade you, give you something in return, those are the worst teams in the league. Those are the teams that don't have a quarterback. So Nick Foles, if you're talking about a trade situation, you're not going to a contender. You're going to a team that's going to need some help, and you're going to have to carry this football team. And that, if I'm Nick Foles, I'm a little bit concerned about that as far as going to a team that's not very good at this point in his career.
Well, and frankly, there's only a couple of teams that have quarterback openings. A lot of teams have drafted guys to make them the next one or whatever. Whether that's going to work out, it remains to be seen. But they're not going to trip somebody over that guy they've already selected. So, there's Jacksonville,
yep.
Obviously. There's the New York Giants, maybe.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
There could be the Washington Redskins. Like, two teams in the division, like, would you risk trading him within the division? Would that matter to you?
I've always thought that, even when I remember when Donovan got traded inside the division, I've always thought that if you don't want the guy, why does it matter who you trade him to? I've always felt that way. But if you put Nick Foles with a team that has talent at the receiver position and at the running back position, if the New York Giants find a way to get some offensive linemen, offensively, they look like a much better football team. Defensively, they'll come along if the offense is able to stay on the field. To me, that's the team that you will have to compete with. But the truth is, my feeling still stays the same. If he's not good enough for our team, if he's not good enough to make us better, to help us get to the Super Bowl, then why is he going to a different team? Why is that going to make a difference to me?
Yeah, and here's what I got to, too. The other level is, wouldn't you be able to defend a guy you know better mm-hmm. than anybody else?
You
would
hope so.
Why would you
Absolutely.
Be afraid of Nick Foles beating you when you know all about him and can draw up a game plan to beat him?
Absolutely true. The fear about the Giants in particular is that if they get a guy that can throw the ball over 20 yards, which Eli couldn't do last year, now you have some weapons on that team that make them hard to beat inside mm-hmm. your division. And when you're talking about home field advantage, and we've seen how that has played off in the playoffs, played out in the playoffs, home field advantage is huge. If you can't win your division, you can't get home field advantage. That's going to be a problem.
All right, there are a lot of guys now that are in limbo here. There are like eight starting positions that they have to decide on. And I'm curious to know where you would go with them. With all right, Charles is ready with us. All right, we'll get to that in a second. Let's bring on the man. Yes, he lit it up again. He called the Sixers the dumbest organization in basketball. Let's bring him in. Special day. Sharing a microphone with the great Brian Westbrook is the great Charles Barkley. Chuck, what's up?
I'm good, man. Hey, you know, Brian's my guy, man. He's one of the greatest ever, man. Hello.
Thank you, Charles. Appreciate it, man. No, you're the greatest ever. I tell you, every time I talk to Charles and I see him, there's always love. And there, from me to him, there's always admiration because he is the greatest ever, especially here in Philadelphia. So, special moment to have
here's
Charles
the, here's
on
the
air
the
with
thing
us.
About Barkley. You got to admit, Brian, everything the guy says makes national news.
That's right.
Right? Again, you made national news again last night. You said the Sixers were crazy for playing Embiid. Talk to me.
Well, he's their franchise player. The guy's limping up and down the floor. I just thank goodness he didn't get hurt. I mean, why would you take a chance with your franchise player who's injury prone? And he clearly was laboring. He didn't get hurt. Thank goodness for that. But I don't understand why you would even take that chance. And Brian knows this. You never ask a player if he can play. You know, you never ask the player. The coach has to make that decision. But the player always going to try to play. Like I said, the good thing about it, he didn't get hurt. But I don't even understand why the Sixers are even taking that chance with him.
Well, let me give you the other side of that. Because they had to make a statement last night, right? In town, we're wondering whether they're good enough to play these teams that are atop the East. And I don't know how you feel about it, but Indiana was one of those teams that people were saying, are they as good as Indiana? I think they wanted to make a statement last night and beat that team. Now, when you measure that, the statement against his health, where do you come out, Charles?
Well, as I said last night, I have never mentioned Indiana as a – like Ernie asked me last night, why don't we ever mention Indiana? Because they're not a contender. It's Toronto, the Sixers, the Celtics, and Milwaukee. There's four legitimate teams in the Eastern Conference. It's going to come down to those four. That's the bottom line. Listen, like I say, I haven't mentioned Indiana all year. They got a good team. Nate Miller, McMillan's done a good job. But the Sixers went in and beat them by 20. But that's not the Celtics, Toronto, or Milwaukee. That's who the Sixers don't have to beat to get to the finals. Plain and simple.
So you would have given up that game last night. It wouldn't have mattered to you. You lose to Indiana because you can beat them anyway.
You can beat Indiana, but like I said, you don't take a chance. Because listen, anybody, and Brian knows this, man, if you got back problems, mm-hmm. what's eventually going to happen, you're going to hurt one of your legs, whether it's a knee or an ankle, because your body automatically is going to overcompensate. And like I say, you got a guy who's a franchise player, a great player too. And I'm not taking a chance in January with a franchise player. That doesn't make any sense whatsoever to me. That's why I criticize the Sixers.
One of the things, Charles, and I think you made a good point when you say the player will always say that he's ready to go. And so at some point, the coach has to step in and say, all right, yeah, you may think that you're ready to go, but we're still going to hold you. At what point is Brett Brown, I mean, what type of responsibility does he have to say, I know you want to play MB, but you're just not playing tonight. Well, where is his responsibility in the whole playing with the back injury type of deal?
Well, I agree with you. He has to make that decision. But also, he got to tell Jimmy Butler to shut the hell up and quit complaining, too. You know, I mean, like, that's listen, I love Brett Brown. He's got a fantastic job. But he's such a nice guy. I wouldn't let Jimmy Butler come out and say, hey, I don't like the way our offense is running. Because, listen, man, we bought you here. Shut the hell up and play. These are our two franchise guys. He's going to be our third guy. Third guy doesn't get to speak. We don't listen to the president and the vice president.
But hold on. They got to re-sign him, Chuck. They can't treat him that way.
Well, is he going to complain the whole time about not getting shots? Because Ben and Joel Embiid ain't going anywhere.
Well, you don't think he had any merit? He wasn't getting enough shots.
Well, hey, first of all, I hate when guys complain When you listen, first of all, I've been in gym. First of all, I'm a better player than Jimmy Butler. Don't get me wrong, but I've been on a crappy team where I got all the shots. When I got traded to a good team, I got less shots, but we actually won games.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.